Imagine a country that desperately needs to import like 50,000 workers every single month just to stop its economy from collapsing.
Right, a massive labor gap.
Exactly. But then, it simultaneously passes these really strict laws to keep migrants out. Today, we are doing a deep dive into that exact paradox.
Yeah, we've got a fascinating stack of 2026 research on the social geography of global migration for you to look at.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because if you think of migration as like a one-way ticket where someone packs up and permanently uproots their life, well, this research shows that era is basically over.
Oh, entirely over. It's no longer a one-way ticket. It's more like a high-speed commuter rail between two
A
economies.
commuter rail, yeah, that's a great way to picture it.
Yeah, geographers are actually calling this new reality simultaneous incorporation.
Simultaneous incorporation.
Right. Basically, migrants aren't severing ties with their home countries anymore. They're using high-speed digital and financial networks to maintain an active daily presence in two societies at exactly the same time.
The research gives a really wild example of this, with Estonian migrants living in Finland.
Yeah, the Finland case study is fascinating.
Right, like they aren't just calling home on holidays, they are immersed in both national spheres constantly. I mean, it's kind of like they have dual monitors for their identity.
Dual monitors, I like that
Yeah,
word.
like living physically in one country but existing digitally in another. But I gotta push back a little here. If your brain is always on that second monitor, doesn't this digital tether prevent, true local connection in the place you actually live?
You'd think so, yeah. And socially, that can absolutely create isolation. But what's fascinating here is that governments are kind of just ignoring that social disconnect.
Really, they just don't care.
Pretty much. They're treating this fluidity as a massive economic asset instead. They're leaning into what they call a quadruple win strategy.
Okay, well, a quadruple win sounds like pure marketing speak. How does that actually work in practice?
Fair point. But think about the bilateral labor corridors between India and Germany for high-tech talent. It's a win for the worker and the German employer, obviously. But it's also a win for Germany as the host country and crucially for India as the sending country.
Wait, how is it a win for India if they're losing their best tech workers?
Well, because Germany doesn't just take the workers, they actually invest directly in training centers back in India, which, raises the overall skill level of the local workforce.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're trying to turn permanent brain drain into brain circulation.
So, what does this all mean? I mean, if this circulation is such an incredible economic win-win, why are we seeing such intense political backlash globally right now?
Well, the demographic reality is completely split. You have countries like the U.S. that desperately need those 20 to 50,000 jobs filled monthly.
Right, what the economists in the paper call break-even employment.
Exactly, just to keep their GDP afloat. But on the flip side, nations like Bulgaria are in what's called an emigration spiral, where they're losing huge chunks of their working population.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But to your point about the political backlash, the data shows public pushback has actually shifted away from those early 2000s security fears. Now it's pointing towards something researchers call structural anxiety.
Structural anxiety, meaning like the anxiety of everyday people looking around and just seeing their systems failing,
Precisely.
like severe housing shortages or crumbling infrastructure, that kind of thing.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, exactly. If you've ever felt frustrated because you can't afford a home or get a doctor's appointment, that is structural anxiety. And just to look at this impartially, based entirely on what the research says, we're not taking sides here. But right-wing political parties are effectively capitalizing on what the authors term the politics of
The
dispossession.
politics of dispossession.
The source material explains that they're taking the very real everyday frustrations of native-born citizens over failing infrastructure and linking those systemic failures directly to migration.
Ah, I see.
It harnesses the anxiety. But of course, as the paper notes, a headline cap on visas doesn't actually pour concrete for new houses or fix those underlying labor shortages.
Which creates this incredibly tense environment. I mean, we have a desperate economic need for labor crashing headfirst into the structural anxiety. And here's where it gets really
Oh,
interesting.
yeah, the inequality aspect.
Exactly. This exact clash creates a deeply unequal two-tiered system for human mobility. We just talked about the red carpet being rolled out for elite tech workers in places like Canada or the Gulf states.
Yep, the brain circulation we mentioned.
Right. But the research contrasts that sharply with vulnerable populations from places like Sudan, Haiti, or Venezuela.
It's a stark contrast. While elite talent gets brain circulation, people fleeing state collapse endure what geographers are calling forced circulation.
Forced circulation.
Yeah, they aren't circulating by choice. And they often aren't even reaching the borders of wealthy nations anymore because of these externalized humanitarian borders.
Let's clarify that term for a second. Externalized borders mean wealthy countries are essentially pushing their borders outward, right?
Exactly.
Like they're paying transit nations in North Africa or Central America to stop and hold migrants long before they ever reach the actual border.
Precisely. So these displaced populations just become trapped in a permanent state of transit.
Mm.
The modern border acts as a highly selective filter.
A filter, right?
It opens completely seamlessly if you're, you know, a recruited coder, but remains rigidly, sometimes violently closed if you are displaced and vulnerable.
It's the defining paradox of 2026. Human mobility is the absolute bedrock of the global economy, yet it's profoundly stratified. It relies on asymmetric patterns that basically favor the privileged and invisibilize the desperate.
And it's a loop that entirely depends on the constant movement of people from poorer nations to sustain the economies of wealthier ones.
Which leaves us with a pretty heavy realization for you to chew on.
Yeah, it really makes you wonder about the long game here.
Exactly. If wealthy nations' economies depend entirely on the fluid mobility of their neighbors to survive, well, what happens when those origin countries simply run out of people to send?
Does the loop finally break?
Right. Something to think about next time you see migration in the headlines. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.